Once again, why don't you lift your hands with your voice this morning and begin to love on Jesus again. Come on, let him hear your voice for a moment. What a privilege it is to be in the presence of the Lord this morning. Amen. What a wonderful Savior we serve. And I'm thankful that He's mindful of us today. And I love the Lord, and I'm thankful for His voice. One more time, would you give the Lord a good hand clap of praise? It is to be able to feel His presence in this house. And I do say to each of our guests, whom you may be this morning, I give you honor and I say thank you for being with us today. And I do admonish you to worship Jesus the way you know how, and you respond to Jesus the way you know how, and He'll make up the difference, I promise. And to Pastor and Sister Cross White, I give high honor to. I appreciate your man of God. Amen. We have been so privileged, and I apologize for not addressing this beforehand, but we have been treated so good since the Lord has allowed us to be together. And I say thank you not only to Pastor and Sister Cross White, but to the church for the hospitality that's been shown to myself and my family. More than anything, I'm thankful that we serve a constant God. A God that knows where we are, and a God that is moved by our worship. I'm thankful to know that this morning I am standing in a church that knows not only how to pray, but a church that knows how to worship. I'm thankful to know that I haven't been a part of a church for the last several weeks that is just high on emotion, but is driven into the deep water of not only a place of worship, but also a place of the receiving and responding to the word. And I do give honor to this good church, to every minister that is represented in this house today, Brother Hughes and his good family. I give honor to each of you. And I'm going to dive deep into the word this morning, if that is okay. And from the songs that have been sung today to the quoting of Scripture, I feel like the Lord has ushered us to this place for this time. Folks, I don't believe we got a lot of time left. On every avenue you look at, whether it be a social media outlet, whether it be a newspaper, whether it be the news, everywhere we look, we are living in a world that is becoming so quickly anti-God anything. And I want to dig into the Word this morning, and I want to deliver what's on my heart. Around 3 o'clock this morning, 2:30, 3 o'clock, I woke up and I began to be troubled, and I have felt an urgency. I believe I've said hi to maybe 2 people this morning, and I haven't talked to anybody this morning, and I feel such an urgency right now. And I am going to do my best to follow what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Go into the book of Galatians, chapter number 1. Church, you have heard me say this many a time, but I'm thankful for sound voices. Sound voices is much more than just a place of correction. Sound voices is voices of clarity that will usher Tim Main into positioning myself correctly in the things of God. Galatians chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Galatians 3:1 would read, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And so piercing and so sharply, are you so foolish? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Galatians 4:9, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. You did run well. And then it would pose a question that every individual in this house, that you better take to your heart right now. It would admonish you for what you have done, but it would also rebuke us in a very pointed way. You did run well. Who did hinder you It didn't say who might hinder you. It don't even imply. It said who hindered you.
Yes.
Who did hinder you that you should not obey truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. By the help of the Holy Ghost for just a little while, I want to preach for you the deception of vanity. The deception of vanity. I'm going to ask you to do something quite peculiar this morning, if it's all right, to place your reading device beside you. And I'm not going to ask you to pray for the service. I'm not going to ask you to pray for Brother Main. What I'm going to ask every individual in this house to do individually is to lift your hands in a place of repentance and to say, God, help me to receive your word with joy this morning. God, if there is anything in my life that would separate you and I repent. And I'm asking you right now, God, to open my heart, to lay aside every weight, God, that easily besets me from you, any driving thing that separates me from you. Come on, church, would you pray, please? God, wash me. Wash me anew. Shata ta da da boko salana ye ata. Yes, oh God, I feel it this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you may be seated. From the old classic Pilgrim's Progress. That would be penned by Mr. John Bunyan, Christian and Faithful. They are well on their way to the celestial city, having now come out of the wilderness. They find a city of gliss and glamour that would be set up directly by the road that they are traveling on, that life has now brought them to a crossroad, if you would, a thoroughfare. Bunyan would play off of a pattern of the Lord coming out of the wilderness, having now to taste what it was to be tempted. Having now to face the temptation. It's one thing to be tempted, but it's another thing to act upon the temptation. It's one thing to feel like you are bombarded into a place where you feel like the devil has your back against the wall and that you have nowhere else to go. It is Christian and Faithful, if I could, you and I. We're no different in the manner that we're going to have to face temptation along our spiritual walk as we grow in the Lord. As we make every attempt to lay aside every weight. As we make every attempt to become more holy because He is holy. Vanity would be the city. And Vanity Fair would be the place of the vile, the commerce, the trading. It was created in the mindset where the devil, he would attempt every saint along the way to trade for the spiritual things. It is his attempt for you to reach out for the superficial that will have eternal results. Vanity has been around for a long time. And in In fact, it would develop its origins out of Babylon, doing everything that pleases our flesh, but has no recognition to the things that are built up by God. When you feed something so much, it's going to grow in you to the point where it literally chokes anything else out. Vanity Fair would be populated by the cheats, by the fools, the adulterers, the rogue, them that have now spent their time fooling around with the things that they knew was not going to be good nor profitable to their spiritual walk as they grow in God, rather what would grow in the flesh. We can be so enamored by the things of the world that we simply forget about God. We can be so busy playing games. We can be so busy murdering and thieving and running around. And when we can even get into the place where the facade is beautiful, but the internal is that which lies where your eternity is going to be. It's where you, my friend, you have the result of what you lie in. You will reap what you sow. And in Vanity Fair, it would be made up of the salesmen that have already sold out to the things which have pleased them in time past. And if the salesmen can just get your attention for one moment, they can get a foothold in your life. So if they can just explain to you of how good they got it and how bad you have it, then it's the cunningness of masterful salesmen that will do nothing more than to get your attention on the idols that are on the roadside as you're passing, going through the thoroughfare of life. It's the distraction that the Vanity Fair would love nothing more for you to pause for one moment and take in the gliss and the glamour of the lights and the gliss of everything. It's the tinkling of a cymbal. It's the sounding of brass. As long as it looks good, surely it's good. As long as I can feel good for this moment, then it's not going to be harmful down the road. It's a carnival that would be a year-round deal, and it's where the salesmen will be masters of what they sell. According to Bunyan, they are selling merchandise to entrap the hardiest of souls. What they offer, it's not just the fulfillment of lust. What they offer is not just the fulfillment of time. But what they are offering is the fulfillment of bigger and greater houses and barns, lands, trades, having prestige and honor and titles. It's giving in to the sinful delight of every kind. Sin isn't just a lust of the fulfilling of a sexual desire, but it's the fulfilling of desires that drive you away from the presence of God. It's the desires and the fulfillment of the things that you say, I can lay aside for a moment and I can come back later and I can pick it up where I left it. It's a lie of Vanity Fair that has entrapped the soul of so many. It's the trading of where husbands will lay aside their families and to get a little bit more overtime, to work a little bit more, but to neglect the things of the spiritual. It's where wives will neglect their duty as a wife. And now the byproduct of neglect of parents is the rebellion of a child. It's the selling out to vanity. We give masters over our lives, and the Bible is very explicit that you can only serve one. You can't serve two. You can't fall in love with God and serve the world. You're either going to love one or you're going to, you're going to cling to something, my friend. And out of Vanity Fair, you quickly realize where it's becoming a servant to the things that look good. There's something that every man out of Vanity Fair would be offered. Because everybody in this house this morning, I don't care where you are on your walk with God, every individual in this house, regardless of age, you will be tempted. And when you're tempted, my friend, what are you so cheaply going to sell out for? When the tempter comes and knocks at your heart's door, is it the sin that you've so long hid in the shady, dark doors of the heart? Or is it just a pet sin that everybody knows you fool around with, that you don't want anybody exposing nor messing with you because you already know it's wrong? And then whenever the pet sin is really exposed or the hidden sin is exposed, you've truly sold out to the things which separate you from the love of God. In fact, my friends, selling out to the things of the world, it's as serious as going to heaven or going to hell. Because in Vanity Fair, there's not a trade for money. It's a trade for souls. And it's a trade for your soul. And my friend, this morning, what value do you place on your soul? My friend, is it even important anymore, the relationship that you once had with God? Or is it just another fable that is just passing of time, and time will come back once again? My friend, I've come to serve a warning in the Holy Ghost. It's the striking place of the voices that would begin to call out on that journey of life. And when the voices begin to call out, what you give ear to, my friend, is what you are bound to become. And when you give ear long enough to the voices that says it don't take all of that, you don't need to do this and you don't need to do that, my friend, you eventually give over to the voice that tells you that compromise is okay. Hallelujah. But it's the voices that would grab the attention of both Christian and faithful. That the voices are doing their best because they've done it before. And the voices of the master salesman have gotten so many to turn away just for a moment to give ear to the sales pitch. It's not long before the hecklers of the Vanity Fair realize that two men would have their mind made up, and they're not going to be dissuaded by the offers that are given. Look at me, I'll give you a better home. I'll give you a more beautiful wife. I'll give you prestige. I'll give you position. But the never wavers them. Right. It matters what your eyes are affixed to today, my friend. We're not living in 1990 where things that was covered with black labels are inaccessible because they're behind the counter at the pantry. Come on. We're living in a society where it's at every turn. Wide open, brother. You can go to Walmart and you can be checking out, and you can turn and you can find things that try to grab your attention. And it's grabbing your attention because we fall out of love with the things of God just for the fulfillment for a moment. Yes. And it takes but a moment until the distraction is so great that you are distracted. And when the distraction is so great that it causes you to lose your firm footing in your relationship with God, then my friend, it's a warning that every individual should get excited over. That God, you're giving me one more opportunity to get things right. Yes. I wish I had help this morning. Because is
it was the answer that would go forth out of Vanity Fair that, sirs, I perceive that you are not persuaded by what we are selling. No, no, no. Christian would quickly speak up and he would do it. Surely we buy truth. That's the only real commodity that anybody in this world has. Buy the truth and sell it not. Upon this foundation will I build. Everything else is just sinking sand, but upon this rock I will build my church. If you feel like there is anything equal to the Word of God, then my friend, woe unto you. If there is anything that you have set as such a precedent as the Word of God, then my friend, I dare say that you've already begun to be distracted. Because there should be nothing, nothing more important than the Word of God in your life. Right. Have I hid your Word in my heart?
Right.
Storms and seasons will come. But when things begin to call out to grab your attention, what are you firm on? Are you firm in your relationship with God? Or are you spending just another moment saying, God, I got another chance. God, I'll be able to go to church on Sunday. No, 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 no. My friend, if you already slipped into that mindset that I got another chance, Vanity Fair is already grabbing a foothold. When Vanity Fair, I want everybody to pay attention with me over these next few moments. When Vanity Fair would be noised abroad that these two men were unmoved by the wooing of the world, by the wooing of their environment, they began to be persecuted. Three reasons why. First, it was the way they dressed. They were dressed simply. They were dressed modest compared to the citizens of Vanity Fair, who were dressed provocatively and modest. Because it matters what tribe you're representing. It matters on the outside what you are portraying. Because whatever is on the inside will be portrayed by an outward show.
Yes, yes, yes.
And if you have an issue with holiness, it said, be ye holy for I am holy. Right. Holiness is not just a bunch of standard or a bunch of rules. It's because you fall in love with the one that the world has rejected. You want to know why we dress the way we dress? You want to know the way we act? The way we act, it is because we have fallen in love with the one that they have rejected. You want to know why we look so different? It's because we're not trying to please the one that they are running from. Hey! Because holiness will always usher you into a deeper walk with God. When you fall in love with holiness, that does not mean, oh God, that does not mean that you have made it. When you fall in love with holiness, it's you saying to God through an outward showing that, God, I am selling out to you because I want people to recognize that I am not better than them, but I have found something that my soul desires. Because holiness is not a black eye for the church. Holy. holiness is not a shameful place for the church. Be ye holy, for I am holy.
Hallelujah.
I believe that whenever the answer would go forth, we buy truth. It was the echo that I have fallen in love with something you've rejected. Don't you dare start comparing yourself to everybody else because you've got to do this, this, and this. You don't have to do nothing. We're privileged to be able to live this way. Hey, hallelujah! In Vanity Fair. Y'all know what one of the most beautiful things is in the world? For a man or a woman that is apostolic to be identified on the outward to say, that's a praying man. That's a praying woman. Oh man, I don't want to just dress holy. I want to be holy. Amen. Second thing that they began to be persecuted for, and this pertains to everybody. Y'all ready? They were persecuted for the way they was talking. You can't ever expect internal revival while you're spewing trash.
There you go, brother.
Their speech was clean. Their speech was godly compared to them a Vanity Fair. It's a moving and it's the wooing of everything else by conversation. But you better be careful who you fellowship with in communication. Because if I'm simply going to give ear for a moment, I have fallen prey to Vanity Fair. Because from the abundance of the heart, mouth speaketh. If I want to see revival in my church, you know what I have to do, Brother Crossway? If I start hearing somebody talking crazy, I got to be a man of God enough to say I don't want to hear none of that mess. I don't care if they did mess up. Thank God they're still here. But I don't need to hear none of that.
Okay.
The third thing that Christian and Faithful done, I want everybody to pay attention with me right now. Y'all, the third thing that Christian and Faithful done, they didn't even stop to look at the merchandise. When you turn your eyes loose to the things of the world, my foot almost slipped when I seen the prosperity of the wicked.
Right.
You better be careful when you start allowing envy to get in your heart by people that don't live for God, but you feel like they're blessed more than you are.
Come on.
Okay, I can already feel it. I feel like a miniature dump truck running into walls right now, but I feel like I'm right where I need to be. Because we don't want to get on these topics. We don't want to talk about this stuff. But I'm telling you, this is a difference between you going to heaven and it's a difference between you going to hell. It matters the way you dress. It matters the way you talk. It matters what you're going to fellowship with. It matters what you entertain. Well, they're my co-workers. I got to keep peace on the job.
Come on.
You don't have to entertain that mess. You can have such a spiritual backbone that you're not going to stop long enough to say, hey, let me in some of that joke. Oh, y'all ain't listening to me today. Y'all ain't with me right now. But let me tell you something. Long before John Bunyan would decide to pick up his ink pen and start writing, I'm thankful for the book of Galatians.
Yes. Come on.
Because just some fable to be written by a man that probably didn't even serve God. He would mimic a book that was in a book that would keep me right. That would keep me on a path of righteousness. Okay, because in the book of Galatians, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. What happened? What did you listen to? What did you entertain?
Right.
That caused you to lose out with God. I marvel. It's a scary thing whenever there be red letters. I marvel.
Yeah.
That you are so soon removed. I have felt this since early this morning, which called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And then when it would plainly say in four letters that it should shake the foundation of everything, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you. There's going to be people that try to get your attention and would pervert the gospel of Christ. It was Paul that would be so alarmed that you're going to allow people in your life that's going to trouble what you believe. It's a Greek word. It's the same aspect as tarasso. And it literally means to shake back and forth violently, to agitate or to stir up. I think it's high time and I think it's past time that we fall in love with stirring up a gift that is within us. Because if you allow something to lie dormant for so long, my friend, that thing's eventually going to die. If you always come to church and you're always in the poor, pitiful me's because somebody got a blessing but you didn't get your blessing, I don't think it's the person that got their blessing's fault that you're in the position you're in. It literally means to shake back and forth. When's the last time you literally got to the place where you said, God, I am sick of how I've been living. God, I am sick of the way I feel. God, I can't even, hey. God, I gotta have more of you. It's people that would twist. It would be people that would turn around the gospel. Let me tell you, I'm not going to stand and I'm not going to get in an argument with nobody about the Word of God. I don't have time just to debate the Word. I got time to read the Word, and if the Word says it, praise God, I'm going to do it. I don't have time just to get in big debates by people that only want to sugar down the gospel. And our generation is no different than the one that Paul confronted face on. He was preaching that. I would to God that everything in your life, that it flowed so purely through the filter of the Scripture and the Holy Ghost. Everything. That there wasn't any action nor reaction that you allowed in your life that didn't go through the filter of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. I believe there needs to be a revival of discernment in the church. Because discernment better be a prevailing trait in your walk with God. And if discernment isn't just if it's not a prevailing trait in your walk with God, then my friend, you're going to adapt to anything that comes around you. You're going to fall in love with anything that gives you a bit of attention. But if you fall in love with discernment, woo! Then upon this rock, I become what God can build upon. Hallelujah. Because Paul would understand how fragile man was. Paul would understand how much perseverance it would take to live for God. So a young man will stand and ask you the question that you got to take home with you today. What are you allowing to influence you? I don't believe it's the will of God for us to come to every service and we have to repent to the place where we can worship God. I don't believe that's the will of God. I don't believe that we should have to get right with God every service. I believe it should be a daily relationship with God that ushers me into His presence when I come into the house. Because what are you allowing to influence you that's already convinced you that you're not right with God? And if there's anything in your life that's convincing you that you're too far from God, then my friend, it's high time that you cut things loose in your relationships.
Amen.
And you get back to your first love, that you get back to the things of God. It's the troubling, it's the perversion of the gospel. Then it's the progression of who bewitched you. That you will travel so fast in the direction of disobedience. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel like God's reaching for people this morning that you feel like you have everything together, but inside God has already tried and tried and tried to reach you. It's the voices of Vanity Fair that tried to get the attention of Christian and faithful. I want everybody to hear the heart of Tim Maine this morning. It's a downward pattern that will ultimately cause a man to lose his eternal reward. Because God will never call you to a lesser place.
That's it.
Somebody hear me right now. I don't like waking up early in the morning, and I woke up and I tried to go back to sleep, and I woke back up, and I finally just felt like the little fella in the Bible. Okay, Lord, I'm here. What's going on? There's not anything better in Nacogdoches. I'm sorry. I'm glad I got one amen. I don't believe there's anything wrong with this church. So if you can't live for God here, then what voices are you entertaining that's told you you can't live for God here? And I know we got guests this morning, and I thank you for coming. But my friend, this is for you as well. Don't you get so lost in the voice where it's promising you trinkets and it's promising you everything that you feel like God hasn't delivered to you yet. Because eventually, Sister Carmen, what I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to end up listening to the voices that promises me the things that I feel like God has neglected me in. Oh, here we go. It's a consumer mentality that tells you that you need more than what you have right now. My friend, if God just delivered everything He promised to you, it would be our demise. That's why eventually you're begging God, God, I want you to do this. God, I want you to do this. God, I need you to do this. God, I want you to do this. And you run to your pastor and you say, hey, pastor, how you feel about it? No, we ain't going to go there. No, we ain't going to. But I've been praying and I know this is the will of God. I've been praying about it feverishly. Yeah. God's really wanting to deliver this to me. And then your man of God will just speak up and say, that's not profitable. It's voices that we entertain. Elder, when we entertain voices long enough, we are convinced so quickly.
So quickly.
That God's mad at you because God hasn't delivered unto you what you feel like God owes you. It's the voices from the outside that is infiltrating and choking out the revival internally in churches. Tells us that we got to be perfect. The voices tell us that the church isn't nothing but a compiled place of judgmental people. I'm sorry, the church is made up of imperfect people serving a perfect God, and we need Him every time we get an opportunity. But it's the voices that we entertain that we say, hey, God, you didn't direct me here, but God, we're here, so this must be your will. Okay. I'm not preaching to anybody but Tim Maine today. Okay, cool. Because the consumer will always take the mentality that they don't need God. We don't need God because we've got this far on our own. We've got to this point by ourselves. Why in the world would I need a God that's made up a bunch of rules? You need God because you got to that place by yourself. And you need God to save you from what you've already done. We step into the position of playing God instead of being submitted and obedient to God. It's a process that every individual in this house, whether you go to this church or whether you're visiting today, that everybody in this house, that you have looked in the mirror and you have echoed the words that you have, that you don't want to echo, how did I end up here? And that is where the voices become so loud. And it's the echoes of sermons. It's the echoes of direction. It's the echoes of where there was a place of correction. And the answer of the echo is regret. A Christian and faithful refuse to allow their language to be changed. Let me tell you how I can tell when somebody is struggling living for God, even though they look really good on the outside. Stand around them and have a conversation with them for about 30 seconds or so, and you'll understand the position that people are living in.
That's right. Don't take home.
You show me somebody on fire for God, I'll show you somebody that knows how to keep their mouth shut. I hope this is okay this morning. I'm just delivering my heart, and I know I'm bumping up against a lot of things because this isn't areas that we want brought out. But I'm telling you, if we want old-fashioned apostolic revival like we truly say we do, then my friend, I'm talking about the transforming power of the Holy Ghost in every service. It's because we refuse to listen to the voices that make me become a buyer and that puts me in charge instead of being submitted to the voice of God. This world's in a mess because we listen to everything. I want there to be one voice in my life. One. And if that voice is ever contrary to the voice that's in my life, oh, y'all ain't with me right now. Amen. I'll move forward. But if I ever diminish the voice in my life, I've already diminished everything. Mom and Dad, you want to know why children struggle to be submitted and obedient to God? It's because we struggled with it. And what we portray out of our mouth, out of our communication, it said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But it's for the edifying of the body. My voice can cause me to miss heaven. Because if I ever get disgruntled right here, how can I ever expect to be right like this? Oh, Jesus. Because when we learn to get to the place where we're not willing to listen to voices anymore, it's where the first time in our life we're able to get into the place of true denial of self. And then that is where we usher in into the place of true relationship through submission and obedience. That I deny myself and take up my cross. The demands of living for Christ can seem to be hard while you're full of self-fulfillment. But at the very point where you say, God, I am laying down everything, that cross becomes so light. Being a saint of God is much more than just being sick of sin. It's having a desperation for a sense of redemption. That I want to make heaven my home. And in finale, They didn't allow their eyes to become distracted by anything. The voice is a false doctrine. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? But there's another doctrine. Doctrine, every individual in this house, I want you to hear me right now. Doctrine is not a dirty word. Doctrine is something that you should get so excited over. False doctrine, it's persuasive in its nature, but it's lacking in its substance. Because false doctrine will always have to have something else to validate it. But the Word of God is absolute. It's true. It's infallible. False doctrine's like yeast, and when a little bit of yeast is introduced to the loaf, it affects everything. That's why you better be so sound on what you believe. And beyond believing just because he preaches it, what does your Word of God say?
Yeah.
There's a little Bible quizzer sat beside me yesterday, and man, it tore my heart out. I said, "What's your favorite scripture?" And they said, "Well, we're doing Acts." I was like, "Well, that's awesome." I said, "What's your favorite?" I was expecting like Acts 2:38 or something. Little kid looked at me and said, "Save yourself." Jesus, save yourself. Little boy looked at me. Well, we're sitting right there about where our elder is right now. He looked up at me and said, "Save yourself." The Central Generation. Like, yeah. The little boy looked at me. He could have been maybe 7 years old. And he looked at me and he said, "You got to let God work on you still."
Yeah. That's good. Praise God.
I'm telling you, it's what you put inside that's going to come out.
Amen.
If our children are grasping it, parents, then why can't we grasp it? Woo, it's quiet. Jesus. Everything that is done will be exposed on the external. Because if the internal is nasty, I don't care how holy you dress, your attitude's going to send you to hell. Because it's the voices that you allow. But doctrine is not a word that we should stray from. It is something we should fall in love with. Because it don't matter who follows that path of false doctrine. You better stay true to what God's delivered to you. It hasn't changed since the inception of the church in Acts chapter 2. Still repentance, water, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking another tongue. Still going to take separation from this world if we want to get out of this place intact.
Amen.
I wish I had about 150 people that was excited about the word still. You must have an unwavering stand on doctrine in today's world because it is the only thing that is absolute. I may seem a little bit radical about the message that was once delivered unto the saints, but if it worked back then, it's still going to work today. And if it's going to work today, then it's going to be the salvation for my babies. I refuse just to set aside and watch for Vanity Fair to infiltrate the church.
Amen.
We should have a backbone enough where we can stand and we can say, "This is not going to become the identification of my church." Because we've allowed so many things to infiltrate our home and our personal lives.
Right.
That it's already started infiltrating the church through you. Because if we can't take care of things at home, then why in the world would I even care about church? Because church is where I can go on Sunday and get right with God. No, 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 no. You're missing the picture of relationship. I would to God that if you walked out of this church tonight and you came back 20, 30, 40 years from now, you would still be hearing the message preached. We can't afford to give in to the voice of false doctrine. Hallelujah. That voice of compromise, it is not of God. It's not going to take more smoke machines. It's not going to take more programs. It's going to take getting full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It still matters what you believe. It still matters what you entertain. Hallelujah. And I'm closing this morning. Because everything around you is so busy trying to get your attention that entertainment has become the death of the known church that we have.
Exactly.
Entertainment, the need for entertainment. I know some of y'all may not agree with him, but I'm going to quote what an elder said by Jeff Arnold. I've discovered that when I have a heightened need for entertainment, that I have lowered my spiritual life to a place of a substitute.
Yes, exactly.
When we want to be so entertained, when we want entertainment to override the gospel, I'm sorry, my friend. We've already lost a substance.
Yes.
When I want entertainment to override my relationship. It's everywhere. Everywhere you look. It don't matter where you go. It don't matter who you're with. That heightened need for entertainment. It's whether we're playing on our telephone so long that we tell God we're too busy for Him. Whether we're so busy doing everything else that is irrelevant to our walk with God. Entertainment's become so rich in our life that we would rather die out to the things of Christ as long as we're being fed the entertainment. I'm struggling, Brother Maine. I'm struggling, Brother Maine. I'm too busy. That's all I ever hear. I'm sick of hearing people saying, I'm too busy. I can't live for God the way I do. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can live for God. What it's going to take is you be a man and woman enough to set that stinking telephone down. And saying, I don't need the Facebook. I don't need the Instagram. I don't need the TikTok. I don't need to be texting all hours of the day and of the night. I'm sorry, I've never found the telephone of God where I can text Him my prayers. But in our prayer time that we set aside for God, our stinking telephones will go off 5 million times with notifications. Oh, they want to tell you that your buddy just ate the best cheeseburger in North America. But that'll cause you to be distracted in your prayer life with God. Or somebody texts you that they got an urgent need, but that urgent need is they can't find their flip-flops or something ridiculous. And we'll never set aside time for God. Mm-hmm. Never. Because we have a heightened need for entertainment. I would rather go in fellowship with people than I would to be faithful to God.
Whoa.
You better be careful that you don't substitute fellowship for the necessity of the word.
Whoa.
You better watch out. It's not just television we preach against, my friend. It's not just... Hey, hallelujah! But you better be careful, little eyes, what you see. You better be careful, little ears, what you hear. Because it's not just television that's the issue. Let me tell you what becomes the issue is when you got a heightened need for Hollywood. When you got a heightened need to look like the world. Then entertainment's already got a foothold on you.
Right.
We don't need more entertainment. We're so encumbered about with entertainment that all we want to do is, oh, what's the score of the baseball game? Who won the baseball game? Who won the football game? Who cares?
That's right.
Because they'll shout for their football more than you'll get excited about somebody praying through in the Holy Ghost.
There you go.
It drives me crazy. We'll preach our hearts out. We'll give God everything. And then some loose tongue individual in the church will run up to us. Did you know the Chiefs are playing? Who cares? It drives me crazy. Because I'm seeing it in every church. I don't care how conservative or how liberal you are. That heightened need for entertainment will cause you to miss heaven. Because if my need for entertainment becomes that substitute out of relationship. That's why we got so many marital issues, is because we're so entertained with everything else. Okay, never mind. I ain't getting on that today. We're so busy. We're so busy. Apostolic Lighthouse, we're so busy. This is a praying church. This is a praying church, and I'm thankful that this is a praying church. I'm not just saying this just to have something to say, because I know I've been long-winded today. This has been one of my favorite churches in a long time to go to, because there hasn't been the trash to push through. But I have come with a warning in the Holy Ghost today. You better get to the place where you can fall in love with the things of God so strong that that voice of entertainment, that voice of false doctrine, that voice that tells you that this is as far as we go, this ain't as far! But this is only as far as we go if this is as far as you want to go.
Here you go.
We don't have no time for the word anymore. We don't have time for evangelism anymore. Evangelism isn't just going to preach a series of services. It should be a lifestyle. Revival isn't just a series of services. It should be a lifestyle.
Yes.
Because when you get to that place, you are unwilling to be unmoved with the voices of the cunning salesman. And that, my friend, is where you develop a spiritual desire. How many of you want to go to heaven? Lift your hand. I mean, how many of you are proud that you want to go to heaven? Are we doing what it takes? Because Christ is the treasure. The Word is the treasures. Prayer. Prayer is the treasure. Not this world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through this place. Yeah, we got to live in the world, but you don't have to resemble the world. I should get so excited about the Word of God that it drives me to a place of relationship more than a beat of a drum. You did run well. You did run well. Apostolic Lighthouse guest, you ran well. Woo! And it's the echo of the word. Lord, let me in! Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that called you.
Apostolic Lighthouse more than ever. We gotta fall in love with the things of God. This is a runner that don't run as fast as anybody else. That begins to listen to that inner voice that tells him that you're not gonna win the race. But I'm thankful the Bible says it's not to the swift. I want to make it, Brother Butler. I want to go to heaven. I'm sick of trying to impress people with character flaws and trying to be something I'm not. I just want to be a man of God. God, that I decrease, that he may increase. Today I wonder, Apostolic Lighthouse, to each of our guests, how bad do you want to go to heaven? How bad? Come on, young folks. Huh? Come on, guests.
I know without a doubt, around the throne the saints will bow and lay down every crown. How glorious that moment to see him face to face, to hear him say, "Well done, my child. You finished your race, but for now the sun's still rising. There's work to still be done while you're waiting on the promise of what is yet to come. Finish well." What is yet